Today, I'm talking to Muneera Wilson. You're the Liberal Democrat spokesperson for education and MP for Twickenham. Good afternoon, Muneera, and thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. So, in the light of a public consultation, which finished, I believe, in March, concerning Thames Water's plans for abstracting river water close to Teddington Weir, and replacing with treated recycled sewage water from the Mogden Sewage Treatment Works. How do you feel about this, and what could have been the alternative?
Well, it's been no secret, Jackie, that I have been opposed to this scheme. When we first heard about it, I was trying to remain as open-minded as possible, but it became clear very quickly that none of the due diligence had yet been done, particularly around the environmental impacts and social impacts, and is yet to be done. And also the fact that Thames Water have not really defined why they've alighted on this particular proposal out of all the different projects they've looked at in terms of meeting their best value criteria. So let me just give a bit more background. We all know that particularly with the impact of climate change and the growth of our population, there's a real strain on water resources. And I think all your listeners, and I certainly agree, clearly we need to make sure that we are preparing to ensure that people have always got sufficient water to be able to access, given how critically important it is to our every single day lives and life itself. So in that sense, we totally appreciate and understand why Thames Water need to make drought resilience plans. What I think is perturbing is that there is a real lack of clarity as to why this particular proposal, which would see both huge impacts in my constituency through certainly the construction period in Moorebank Park in St Margaret's, but also just the other side of the river in Ham Lands, to put all the infrastructure in, but also longer term, we don't know what the impact's going to be on the river water. We've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of river users who don't just live locally, some who live further afield. Paddle boarders, swimmers, kayakers, rowers, you name it. And everybody is concerned about what this is going to do to the water. And actually, it's not going to deliver that much water when you consider that Thames Water is losing a quarter of its water a day through leaks. Lots of local residents are saying, well, why aren't they focusing on at least trying to fix some of that? But also, there are a whole host of other options that they're not progressing at the moment. And the thing that is upsetting residents the most is show us your workings, and we're not getting that transparency. So I continue to pressure Thames Water directly, and I and Ed Davies, Sarah Olney, and Ruth Cadbury, my neighbouring MPs, we met with the Thames Water CEO just last week. And I continue to lobby government because ultimately the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs have the ultimate sign off on all of the plans that have been put forward to them for drought resilience. And of this is just one of several proposals on their desk. And actually, we know the pressure from campaigners and politicians is having an impact because they were meant to have made a decision on some of these plans before Christmas, and they still haven't. And they're asking Thames Water a lot of searching questions. So I think we need to keep the campaigning up.
Absolutely. Right, on to another point. I know you've campaigned for the banning of wet wipes, and at last, after many consultations, I think it was Monday, the 22nd of April, the government has finally agreed to a ban on the sale of wet wipes to be passed by June 2024. There's been numerous consultations on this. Why do you think it's taken so long to achieve this point, and what could have speeded up the process?
It's hard to know what the delay has been, other than presumably a lot of lobbying by the manufacturers of these wipes, and those for whom it'll be costly to implement. So, it's a really important campaign. I supported it. It's been led by a Labour MP to a large extent, but with cross-party support, and I and Liberal Democrat colleagues have all been very keen to support the campaign because we know that around 800 million tons of plastic waste is found in our oceans every year, and that has a serious impact on wildlife and ecosystems. So it's really important. It's something that Liberal Democrats have always taken the environment really seriously, particularly the quality of our water. It's why we've been leading on all of the campaigns around sewage. I'm also concerned about chemicals that are found in our water called PFAS. And a lot of these come from plastic containers and other products, and we know that they're present in the Thames and they can have an impact on human health. So that's why it's really important that we tackle plastics in our rivers and waterways. And yeah, it's I just hope the government cracks on and gets on with it now.
I know anyone that's walked down the Thames near Hammersmith Bridge, there's like a mountain, I think a couple of sides, two or three tennis courts of plastic that's come from wet wipes that have been flushed
Really?
in toilets. It's just quite awful.
It's
I think,
grotesque.
yeah, I think Thames 21 have said it's a small step, but more investment needs to go into sewage infrastructure. But also, do you agree we need more manufacturers on board to create plastic-free alternatives and more education for consumers that use these products?
Oh, 100%. So yes, I'd like to see plastic-free alternatives, but I still come across people when you go to someone's house and you see that they've got sort of baby wipes in the loo, and that they're probably going to be using baby wipes, and a lot of those don't have the flushable symbol on them. And I'm not even sure when the manufacturers put flushable on them, just how flushable they are, whether they disintegrate or not. And certainly, I went on a visit to Mogden Sewage Works either last year or tail end of the year before. And they were telling me about the impact and the problems they have as a result of things like wet wipes being flushed down the loo. And I don't think they really thought that any of them were particularly flushable. So there needs to be a lot more pressure brought to bear on industry to take action. But yes, people need to be really educated about the impact of what they're flushing down the loo.
Yeah, I think actually, again, talking to Thames 21, an interview I did about 6 months ago, they said actually don't put anything down the loo, put it in the bin, because anything, as you say, even though they say it's flushable, they're not sure what actually doesn't flush and does flush. And visiting the sewage boats, you've probably seen firsthand what happens to all the stuff that goes down the loo. So moving on, how do you feel about the recent change in stance by the government on the Ofsted wording? They said they've changed from a one-word judgment to a more detailed assessment following the death of Ruth Perry. They've now decided to, inverted commas, improve the current system rather than developing an alternative to it. How do you think this should be tackled?
Well, I mean, the headline of the government's response was that they're not going to move away from the one word judgment, which is very much what Ruth Perry's family, a lot of the teaching community, as well as the unions, and in fact, people like the Times Education Commission, all of them have argued that we should really be moving away from the one word judgment. So it was incredibly disappointing when we heard that the government has rejected that recommendation, which was also made by the Cross-Party Education Select Committee. I think we need root and branch reform of Ofsted, and it needs to take a much more holistic approach in how it assesses and looks at schools, including things like curriculum breadth, pupil well-being, special educational need provision in its assessment, and it needs to be much more of a report card approach on a school rather than a single word, because you cannot sum up most schools in a single word. They can be really misleading, and that pressure around that single word judgment that puts on head teachers, and other school staff, which frankly then filters through into an impact on our children who are in those schools. It's hard to express. I mean, obviously we've had the Ruth Perry tragedy. But that is a very stark illustration of the pressures that every head teacher and teachers that I speak to week in, week out feel that they are under. And we're taking the joy out of teaching and the joy out of learning, because there is such a narrow focus now on making sure that we're constantly ticking all the right boxes for Ofsted in case they come in. And let me be very clear. I and my Liberal Democrat colleagues strongly endorse and accept the importance of accountability of our schools. We want our schools to have high standards, and there should be some sort of accountability and inspection mechanism to make sure that happens. It is the way in which Ofsted is currently operating the pressure that puts on schools, but also the threat that hangs over them. So if Ofsted were able to be reformed into a body that also worked in a supportive way to implement measures when school was found to be lacking in a particular area, rather than having the threat of changing the governance arrangements of a school hanging over a school's head, I think that would be a far more productive way to hold our schools accountable and make sure we continue to expect and demand high standards from all our schools.
Right, and lastly, you've recently tweeted your support for the EU and the UK to negotiate a reciprocal youth mobility scheme, right? You graduated in modern languages in French and German. You spent a year teaching in France as part of your degree course. Do you think
That's
this
right.
scheme would be, how would the Liberal Democrats put this sort of scheme into place? Because it's a wonderful idea. Our young people need to be able to travel freely, to exchange languages. It's all part of the great learning curve before they go into whatever industry they want to go into.
Well, I mean, as you say, it's a brilliant idea. I benefited from freedom of movement when we were part of the European Union to be able to, as you say, go and work in France as part of my degree. And one of the things that I'm saddest about since Brexit is that my children and many other children, young people, won't have the same opportunities that I had. It's just a tragedy. So I think the proposal that was floated by the EU was essentially something around up to 4 years for young people to be able to go to another country. So Brits to go to a European EU country and the EU citizens to come over here to be able to work or study. And there are so many, as well as obviously the cultural opportunities and the life experience that this opens up for those young people, it would also help a number of our industries that are really struggling, like the hospitality industry, for just as one example, that always benefited particularly from students and young adults coming over from the EU, helping fill those jobs. I mean, how many times have you bought a coffee from some young European student who's probably over here, trying to, enjoying life in London? But you see that less and less now since Brexit. So I think it's a great idea. It would help our universities as well, not just in terms of students, but probably as well in terms of some of those early research posts and academia, because academia has really suffered since Brexit, and particularly with the research side of things. I mean, it's great that finally the government negotiated for us to go back into the Horizon programme last year, something we frankly never should have left. But still, to have that freedom of movement for those young adults would be a brilliant step forward. And I just think it's such a crying shame that both the Conservatives and the Labour Party have both ruled it out when the scheme was suggested.
Yeah, it's astonishing, really, because it's not, as you say, just the hospitality. It's like au pairs. People used to have, French au pairs and German au pairs, and they can't get those anymore. It's such a shame for these young people. It's what they didn't vote. Most of them didn't vote for Brexit, yet they're actually getting the bad things from Brexit rather than anything good from Brexit, aren't they?
No, well, I think the whole au pair industry has taken a huge hit, both because of Brexit and various changes around the regulations for even employing au pairs and the minimum wage requirements now, whereas before there was a slightly different arrangement with paying board and lodging and then giving them an allowance. So as a result of that, people who used to rely on au pairs for childcare are really struggling. And just think, our young British students and young adults will be able to go and work in ski resorts and go and do other seasonal work and vice versa. And frankly, I see it as a win-win-win. Unfortunately, not all political parties feel similarly. So, but we'll continue to make the case as and when we can.
Thank you for coming to talk to me. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Bye.